I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
It's good to praise the Lord. Amen, church. It's good to sing His praises. Hey, this summer, our series has been Show and Tell. And 2 weeks ago, we talked with you about tuning into and cooperating with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. As a follower of Jesus, you have God's Spirit living inside you. And so as you go about your business and your work and your education, your fun times, the Holy Spirit's right there with you. And sometimes in that journey, He's going to prompt you to show somebody some love, some kindness, some courtesy, some politeness, and to attribute it back to Jesus. He's going to teach you how to show and tell. Last week we talked about telling our personal faith story briefly, clearly, simply, humbly, telling it like in less than a minute, like 100 words or less. And a bunch of you sent me emails this week. I'm waiting for the others to respond this week. I want to encourage you to do that, to take a few moments to really get your personal faith journey down. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you to tell somebody why you're following Jesus, you know what to say. Beyond, well, because it's like awesome. Well, that's great, but tell them why. Tell them the before. Tell them what Jesus did in your life. Tell them the after. It's important for us to be prepared to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit when He's ready to use us in the game of helping other people connect the dots between their heart and His. Aren't you grateful for the people along your path that were ready to tell, that were ready to show, and God used them at just the right moment in your life so you could get the lights turned on, connect the dots between your heart and God's heart, and meet Jesus Christ? I want us all to be one of those kind of people. Today is the next step, and this is our takeaway for today. Be prepared to tell, say with me, His story. His story. You ought to be prepared to tell other people the story of Jesus Christ. Not just what He's done for you, but what He actually did for everybody. So you step away from your own story to telling them the gospel. Now I want you to learn to tell this in a very simple way. There's a verse of Scripture that many of you may have already memorized. If not, we're going to help you do so today. It's called John 3:16. Look at this verse with me. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, let's all close our eyes. And if you can say it from memory, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You guys really sounded good, or a number of you were peaking, all right? It's a verse that we can all memorize. It's a verse that a child can memorize. But when you share someone that verse, you got to go a little further. Just quoting a verse to someone is probably not enough for most people to understand the dots that exist between them and God so they can connect those dots. Even this verse is part of a larger story where Jesus is talking at night under the cover of darkness with a religious leader named Nicodemus, who came to Him secretly because he had questions about what he heard Jesus saying in public. And Jesus makes this statement in the course of a much longer conversation. Jesus was helping Nick understand the dots that existed between his heart and God's heart, whom he really longed to know. And Jesus explained it. This verse was at the core of it, but there was other explanation going on. I want to encourage you that you've got to be prepared to tell his story, not only by quoting a single scripture, but being able to explain it in a way that someone who really doesn't know much about Jesus at all can understand it. We live in a visually stimulated culture, don't we? Let me prove this to you. If you've bought a car in the last 5 or 6 years, when you turn on the key to that car or push that button now in the newer cars, what happens? You're struck with all these red, yellow, and green lights on the dashboard that come blinking up at you, all these symbols. And every one has an important function. And if you're later driving that car and a red, green, or yellow light pops up on that dashboard, you get scared. Like, what does this mean? You're driving through, digging through the glove box, reading a manual, trying to figure out, what's this icon, this symbol mean? If you go and buy a phone, and you have a new phone, and you turn it on, you don't find numbers to punch. You see little colorful pictures to touch. And everything is done through symbols and icons, and apps are that way. Am I tracking with you? Our culture has become a symbolic visual culture. People understand what the symbols mean. If you're not tracking with those symbols, you quickly find out what they mean from somebody who can show you. We need to remember this when it comes to sharing his story with people. If we can use some symbols, some pictures, some simple words, it helps it become so much more clear how to connect their heart with the heart of Father God. You can take this wonderful verse and you can illustrate it in at least 3 different ways that I want to teach you today. So would you grab your bulletin and open it up? You're going to find a sermon outline. I want you to grab something to write. There's a pencil in the rack in front of you. Somebody in your row has a purse with some pens. Be generous. Pass the pens out. I want everybody to have something to write with, because we're going to spend the rest of this time drawing together, and I want you to master these drawings, okay? They're simple. Little kids can do it. You and I can do it too. To make this work a little simpler, I want to have 3 volunteers. So, let me get my first volunteer. Hey, Mike, why don't you come help me? Come on up here. This is Mike Muno. He's a kind person. He's going to get a donut hole because he volunteers. I'll need 2 more in a minute, so you get ready. You get a donut hole if you help me. Have a seat.
Thanks.
Good to see you, brother. Let's pretend that Mike and I are having a conversation. And in this conversation, I feel the Holy Spirit prompt me to tell Mike my story. And I'm like, are you serious right now to Mike? And I feel the Holy Spirit say, you tell Mike your story right now. And so the conversation just has evolved in a way that I just tell Mike my 1 minute, 100 word or less story. It's really brief, really clear, and I just tells him the difference Jesus has made in my life. And Mike says,
I think I understand. Can you tell me more?
And I feel the Holy Spirit saying to me, he wants to know more. And so I'm like, where should I go? And the Holy Spirit says, you know where to go. You've prepared to tell God's story. Tell him. So immediately, John 3:16 comes to mind. I don't want to overwhelm Mike by just spouting it off by memory. So I say to him, hey, you know what? On my iPhone, I got this cool Bible app that enables me to look at scriptures. I'd love to show you a scripture that help you understand more about what it means to follow and know Jesus. Look at this verse right here. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Mike, if you just have a moment or two, I'd love to kind of show you what this means and help you understand it for your own life and actually draw you a picture to help it make more sense. You got a moment?
Yes.
Sure. Now, this first illustration is called the bridge. Write that word down, the bridge. Okay, the bridge. And here I'm going to show you step by step how to draw it. You're going to see what I'm drawing for Mike on this table. You'll see it on the screen. So just track with me. You all ready? Say, I'm ready. Okay, here we go. Well, Mike, to understand what Jesus has done, I think it helps us if we can visualize it, because God said he loved us and he made a way for us to know him. So as I thought about life, life appears to me like there's this chasm in life. I'm going to draw a chasm here, and I'll flip it over so you can see it. See that chasm? And I think on one side of that chasm, we're going to find God. On the other side of that chasm is you and me and everybody we know. It's us. And it seems like throughout all of human history, people have been trying to bridge that chasm between themselves and God. That's why we have all these religions. Every religion is an attempt to connect with God. People searching and seeking, how can I be connected to the divine? There's this longing in each of us. But really, most people feel like God's really far away, and they just don't have a clue on how to connect with him. Ever feel like God's far away to you?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we believe he exists, but it's like he's way out there. There's this chasm between us. What happens for most people is they work really hard at trying to reach out to God, but then eventually they just kind of give up. It doesn't seem to work, and it leads to what we know is death. When I talk to people who are near death and I ask them, so are you certain that you're going to see God when you die? Most people tell me, I hope so. But they don't have certainty because they're not sure if they did enough to bridge that gap. I've talked to some really sweet people who were like really religious their whole life, really hoping to connect with God, but they still face death with uncertainty. The Bible teaches us that our efforts just aren't going to be good enough, and we're always going to fall short of not being able to connect with God's heart. That's kind of a bleak picture when you think about it. Like, man, all the good things we're doing, but it's still not good enough. You know, the Bible, that verse I just showed you, John 3:16, you probably saw it on signs at football games. You're like, what's that mean? It tells us that God so loved us that he sent his one and only son. That guy's name was Jesus. And the Bible teaches that Jesus led a perfect life and then voluntarily offered himself up on that cross. I know you've seen the cross before on TV or heard about it at churches or seen ideas about it. That cross is a wonderful symbol, but it's also a reality that Jesus gave up his life on that cross and died in our place so we could be connected with God. Think of it like this, Mike. There's this cross. This is where you draw the cross right in the middle of the bridge. There's this cross that actually becomes the bridge between us and God. What we could not do, Jesus did for us. And as a result, we can connect, and I put this arrow here, we can connect with God the Father. Because he loved us, he sent Jesus to pave the way for us so we could be connected to him. It's like Jesus has done it for us. And all we have to do is believe him. And all these efforts we made, they don't really mean that much then. What means a lot is trusting him. And then when we do good things in the future, it's like saying thanks to him for what he's done for us, bridging the way for us to know God personally. Is this making sense to you?
Yes.
Do you think you're at a place in your life where maybe you'd like to connect those dots with God and put your faith in Jesus? Now, there are times when you draw this bridge for somebody that they have more questions. They're just not ready. But there's other times when the Holy Spirit will prompt you, seal the deal. Press in. Ask them if they're ready. It's scary to ask somebody, are you ready to put your faith in Jesus? Let's all admit, that's a little intimidating. But if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, you know you got to ask. And sometimes, like in Mike's case here, because he wants a donut hole, like in Mike's case here, he's going to say yes. And I've seen people, like, did you just say yes? Really? Like, you really want to do that? Don't be shocked. When God's Spirit's at work, he's already working in that person's heart. We can't make them say yes. Only he can do that work. We just have to set it up so that he can. Making sense, church? Give me a nod. Making sense? Yes? Okay. So let's say that I sense God pressing me to say, Mike, do you want to follow Jesus? And he says, yes, I do. But I would say, well, let's just talk to God about this and just kind of make a commitment to him right now. Then you can learn how to follow him in the days ahead. Why don't we talk to him by praying together? Would you pray with me? Don't be afraid to pray with people in public. You're more awkward about it than they are. This person's looking for hope. It's making sense. God's Spirit is at work in this person. They're eager and ready to do this. You ask them to pray, they're going to pray with you. And so you just pray a simple, childlike prayer with them like this. Just repeat after me, Mike. You can just say it in your own heart. Thank you, God, for making a way. By faith, I believe you, Jesus. You are Lord. Be Lord of me. Forgive my sin. Bridge that gap for me. I trust you with my life. I will follow you from now on. Mike, I want to show you one more verse that just confirms to us what you've done. If you can go back a slide, Kenny. Thanks. This verse here is John 5:24. Look what Jesus says. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Mike, when you put your faith in Jesus, you crossed over from death to life. You used to be on this side of that chasm. You put your faith in Jesus. He built the bridge for you, and you've crossed over. That's what Jesus says. I want to encourage you, take this napkin with you, grab a donut hole, and we'll talk again soon about this. All right, get a donut hole. Let's thank God for Mike. Let's thank God for Mike. If the Lord sets you up to draw that bridge for somebody, you make sure they take it. And you make sure they can look at it and think about what Jesus has done for them on that cross. Sometimes they'll want to come to faith right then. Sometimes they'll say, "Let me think about it some more." If they do come to faith, what do you do then? I encourage you, help them get a Bible app on their own phone. Get them a copy of God's Word. Point them toward the Gospel of Luke. We just spent the last 3 years studying the Gospel of Luke together. Take them there. When they have questions, you've already are sort of familiar with it. You can use the church app to help answer specific questions off different messages. Invite them to come to worship with you. Pretty soon, they'll learn how to love Jesus, start growing together with you, and serving their world. See how this works? It's simple. We can all do it. I need a second volunteer. Tina, why don't you come volunteer for me? There she comes. Now, this next illustration is called Do Versus Done. Write that down. Do versus done. Do versus done. Now, let's say this person, hi, Tina. Let's say this person, Tina, has a strong religious background. You and her work together, and you know that she's devout in her religious faith. On the weekends, she either goes to the synagogue or the temple or the mosque or a church. You know that she is really working her faith. She kind of talks about it sometimes. You see indicators of it, but you're not convinced she knows Jesus Christ. But you see her really working hard at being a really good religious person. In conversation one day over the break table, you're drinking coffee, find yourself alone for just a moment, and the Holy Spirit nudges you. He prompts you to turn the conversation towards religion because you already know she thinks about it a lot. So it's not that awkward, and the Holy Spirit kind of prompts you. Here's a second type of drawing you can do with this kind of person, because there are these people with you where you work and where you go to school. Really sincere religious people that are working hard to connect to God, but you're not convinced they've seen all the dots between their heart and Jesus and God the Father. So you might say something like this: "You know, I've been observing that you're really sincere in your religious beliefs, and you've really been working hard to try to get close to God, I would guess. Is that true?" Yes. And anyway, the Bible has something really cool to say to people who are religious and want to get close to God. And can I show you a verse off my phone? I got this cool Bible app. It has all the whole scripture right here on my phone. And I think you might find this really fascinating. Look at this verse here. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, and it says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's a really powerful statement when you unpack it. Look at it again. God gives grace to save people through faith. It's a gift that He gives. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't get it by being good or even religious, because He doesn't want anyone boasting they got it on their own strength. He wants to give a gift. Like if you give somebody a gift, like your kids, a birthday gift, you don't want them to say, well, you gave me that because I do chores all year long. No, you want to give them that gift because you care about them. And you want them to receive it as a gift from you. God says that's the same way with us. But you know, if you think about religions, the religion you've been a part of, some of the things I've explored in religion, religions always talk people into a plan. And I call it the earning grace plan. You got to work and earn God's favor. You got to do something in order to get His favor and His smile on your life. In fact, I think we could summarize all religions with just a two-letter word. You're going to think this is pretty cool. Look at this word right here. What's that word?
Do.
Do. The word do. Because if you break it down, all religions are convincing people, if you do this and you do that and you make a lot of promises and you get your act together and clean up your life, then God will be nice to you and He'll accept you. And if you think about your own religious experience and those of other people in your neighborhood and here where we work together, lots of people are believing, if I just do more, if I do more of this or more of that, well, then I'll get close to God. But how many of them really feel close to God? It's like we keep on doing and we don't feel like we're getting any closer. Can I tell you what I think that verse means? I think that verse could be spelled in one word. I think biblical Christianity could be spelled by do with two more letters. What's that word?
Done.
What that verse is telling us is that God has made a way for it to be done for us. And that way was through Jesus Christ, because Jesus can do what we can't do. Because in all of our efforts at doing, have you yet become perfect? No, me either. And Jesus says, I'm the perfect one, and I will lay down my life for you. I've done it so that you can be forgiven and made right with God. We don't have to do it on our own. Jesus has done it for us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And then you say,
I want to think about it some more.
You want to think about it some more. Because when someone's steeped in a religious background and you show them do versus done, you have just rocked their world. Because their whole life, they've been trained on that top line, do more, do it this way. Do it at this stage of life. Do it again at this stage of life. Then do these things. And if you don't keep doing it, you're going to not have God's favor. Did you do it last week? If you didn't do it, you don't have it now. And that pressure is what religions use to keep people in the system of earning grace. This making sense? So when you draw do, and they know all what doing is, and then you write done, whoa. This is shocking. They've never thought about putting two more letters on that word do. No one's ever told them to add two more letters and say the word done, that Jesus Christ has done it for them. Even religions that give lip service and honor to Jesus at some level still rarely teach people the bottom line. They keep them stuck on the do. Jesus says, through God's word, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, not because of your doing. It's a gift from God. It's been done for you. If you ever have opportunity to talk with a religious person, use the simple do versus done, and then say to them, I'm sure you want to think some more about this. Would you take this with you? And let's look for a chance to talk some more sometime. And have a donut hole. Okay. Let's thank Tina. A religious person will not soon forget. Do versus done. It will stun them into thinking, have I been misled? Have I just been this close to understanding my whole life? And now I realize Jesus did it for me, and I put my confidence in Him. I'm looking out here and I see some heads nodding pretty strongly. Those are heads of people that were steeped in another tradition, and then the lights got turned on and they realized, Jesus did it. I don't have to do it. He did it for me. That's a beautiful picture that you can easily draw. Do versus done. Third volunteer, Ronnie, you're courageous. Come on up here. And I know you like donut holes too. Now, we've all got friends like Ronnie. He's going to act for me a little bit here. We've all got friends like Ronnie that are enjoying their life. That's it. No, no, stay up here with me. Stay up here with me. Okay. He wants to take the donut holes home with him. There's people like Ronnie, he's going to act this out with me a little bit, who are having a good time in life. Life is going their way. They're just enjoying life. They really don't see a need for God. Do you have people like this in your life that they're happy? They like their work. They got a sweet family. They have a newer car. They're going on vacation. Life's working. And it's like, I'm good. Who needs God? I mean, you waste your time every Sunday at that church. Man, I'll see you at the golf course or the pool. Or, you know, who has friends like this that just don't need God? Anybody have friends like this? They're living next door to you. You're working across from them. Most people in our culture have this level of, I'm good. Yeah, God, He might be out there somewhere, but I'm not really thinking about Him much. I'm good. When you have a conversation and a friendship with someone like that, I want to show you a third drawing. It's called the morality ladder. The morality ladder. Rather than the do versus done or the bridge, the morality ladder is a great illustration to use with somebody who really doesn't understand their need for God. So let's say that Ronnie and I are having coffee one day. Good to see you, Ronnie. And we're talking away, and Ronnie shows me a little crack in his veneer. He gets vulnerable for a moment. He gets real. He admits that there's an issue in his life with one of his kids, and it's just kind of troubling him. And he doesn't have that same little snappy, I got everything under control. And you see a little crack in the armor, and you realize maybe he's willing to realize that God could do something for him. And so you're thinking about this, and the Holy Spirit prompts you, press in with Ronnie right now. Now, it's scary to press in with people who don't reveal hardly ever any need for God. But if you are close enough to them, and you're a friend to them, and you're hanging out with them enough, they're going to get real eventually, because everybody needs God. Amen, church? Everybody does. So he shows that a little bit. He kind of gives me that tell that, yeah, things aren't all that I want them to be. And so I press in a little further, and I tell my story about how I've learned to follow Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah, I know. I've heard that. I've watched. Yeah, I know. That's just who you are. And so I realized, okay, that's not really the approach right now. He needs something different. And so I'm praying as we're talking, Lord, how do you want me to hit this guy with this? How do you want me to show him? And so I say, Ronnie, you know, I was thinking about your situation, and I was thinking about how these things might connect for you with God, because you know that I follow God, and I want to show you something that I think might make sense to you right now. I want to draw you a picture, and I'm going to draw you a ladder. So you draw a ladder. Check this out, Ron. I'm going to draw this ladder. You know, and if you think about life and you think about people that we know, that we work with here and that we hang around with, you know, everybody is somewhere on that ladder in terms of their morality, in terms of their understanding of their need for God and the desire to want to live kind of like God might want them to. We all kind of have a different position on that ladder. For the sake of this drawing, I'm going to put God at the top of that ladder because, you know, God says He's perfect and I have no reason to doubt Him, honestly. And, you know, if He's perfect and holy, well, then all of us are somewhere below Him on that ladder. For sake of this discussion here, to think of, like, at the bottom of the ladder would be things like serial killers. Okay? These are people that like are scary and do really evil things, and people, you know, we'd both be afraid of. Some are between like abject evil, and God's perfection is every other person on the planet. So somewhere we're all on this ladder. You know, when I think about my morality and you think about yours, I think we can make a few assumptions. There's probably some people that are higher up that ladder than me. I know they are, maybe for you as well. I think of someone like a Mother Teresa. I mean, she was really kind of an amazing person, leaving America to go to India, help those people. It's pretty remarkable. Someone else I think of would be a guy like Billy Graham. You know, has that guy ever done anything wrong in his life? He just seems like a really great guy, and people respect him a lot. Well, when I look at that morality ladder and I look at people like that, I think, I'm not sure I'd quite measure up to that kind of morality. I kind of find myself maybe more like down here. Ronnie, if you looked at that ladder, where would you put yourself on that ladder? Okay. Newsflash, you're married to a serial killer. Now, that's not true. That's not true. Ronnie's a great guy and a wonderful husband. But you got to loosen it up a little bit, okay? Because I just turned a pretty steep corner with him. When I was talking, he's kind of going along, yeah, what's he drawing this ladder? What's this all mean? When I said, here, put your initials on the ladder, all of a sudden, he's facing his own morality. He's looking at his own life in respect to God's perfection, which you've established by using people like a Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or maybe someone at work, you know, that's like, man, that person's really got it together and lives so well. He's all of a sudden forced to identify where he's at. No matter where the person puts their initials, it's going to be somewhere on that ladder. It's going to be below God, unless the person's nuts and they, you know, I'm off the charts with, you know, okay. Here, have some bunnin' holes. I'll see you later. You know, but let's say this person's realistic. They're going to mark their name somewhere on this ladder. At that point now, you can turn a corner with them because things have just become real. You know, Ronnie, the truth is all of us, just like you and just like me, we find ourselves on this ladder. And it causes us to wrestle with, well, you know, how do you improve? How do you get better? Most people try to get some kind of self-improvement program. Maybe I could act more like a saint or more like some world-famous person. I think God has a different solution for all of us that are on this ladder. I'd like to show you a verse from Scripture that explains this because I think you'll find it fascinating. It says this in Romans chapter 3. But now, apart from the law, apart from trying to move your rung up on this ladder, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. What that's telling us is that Scripture's pointing out to us that God is showing us a new way to get up this ladder. And it doesn't have anything to do with improving our behavior by obeying the law. This righteousness, it says in the next verse, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This means you and I can't earn this new favor, Ron. It's a gift that's given to us through faith in Jesus Christ if we'll believe in him. It says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, as we might say between Mother Teresa and serial killers, for all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus did something that the Bible calls redemption. You know how you redeem something, like you redeem a coupon at the store, you know, it gets you something you didn't have before. The Bible's saying that Jesus Christ can give us something we didn't have before. Let me show you what it is, Ron. I'll just use myself and you too. What he gave us was the cross. You've seen the cross before. And this is where you draw a cross on that ladder from wherever you put your initials, from your initials up. You see this cross, Ron? This cross symbolizes that what Jesus did for us enables us to bridge that gap between our morality and God's perfection.
It says there in the Bible that Jesus made a way for us to become right with God. So no matter if we're serial killers or people like you and me, that cross is able to cover anybody at any place on that ladder and make us right with God. Isn't that amazing? Just nod your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, typically, a person who doesn't think much about God at this point is feeling a little tipsy with what you're showing them, because you put them on the spot to put their initials on something. You're showing them the cross. This is like new territory. You showed them a verse, so you probably don't want to press in too hard right now unless the Holy Spirit is really telling you to. So watching the Spirit, being attuned into the Spirit, I'm sensing that I've gone far enough with Ronnie for right now. So I'm going to say, Ronnie, I just wanted to show you this today, because what you're going through in your life, it tells me maybe God could help you. In fact, let me restate that. I know He could help you because He's helped me. This is where you're going back to your personal story again to wind this up. He's helped me and He's bridged that gap for me. He's fulfilled this for me, so I don't have to try to have it all together. I just depend on Jesus and He sees me through. I'd like to give this to you, and maybe we can talk some more about this sometime. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ronnie. Let's thank God for Ronnie's help. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're lucky to have Myron.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Thank you. If you want a hole, you know where to find it. Friends, I want you to realize this morning as we close, there are people in your path that only you are going to know. There's guys, there's girls, there's women, there's men, there's young people, there's older people that you live nearby, that you work with, that you pass in the daily scheme of your life, and really, you're the only one here that would really know them or know their story. And you're really the only one that could be praying for them in this whole large group of people, because they're like in your path. Can I invite you to realize that as a follower of Jesus, He's got you strategically in the path of that person. His heart beats for that person. He longs for that person to come to know Him personally. And He's got you, a genuine follower of Jesus, right there in front of them. You're here. You've been here many times. You may have been in front of them for years. Would you begin to pray, Lord, if You want to use me to show and tell with this person, set me up. Give me the impetus. Holy Spirit, give me that nudge at the right time that I should show. Give me the nudge when I should tell my personal story that I've worked on, 100 words or less, so I won't bore them with it. Give me the opportunity maybe to, over a cup of coffee, draw it out as I share a scripture that I've committed to memory so I can tell your story well. If you're prepared, then the Holy Spirit can use you in the lives of these dear people that you'll be passing by tomorrow. Don't you want to be used by God this way? Aren't you thankful for the men and women and friends that were prepared when your path intersected theirs? And they showed you the love of Jesus? And they told you how to connect the dots with Jesus? And they befriended you after you'd made that choice? Aren't you thankful for those people? Don't you want to be like that for someone else? Let me close with this simple question. Are you ready to show and tell? Would you bow your heads with me? Let me pray for us. Before I pray, I want you to answer that question. It's a yes or a no. Answer it to the Lord. Are you ready? Could you tell your story simply, clearly? Could you tell His story, illustrating it in a way that honors him and helps it be clear for someone else? Are you ready to respond to the Holy Spirit as he nudges you? It's a yes or a no, friend. There could be someone here today as you watched me talk with Mike and Tina and Ronnie, that your heart was moving and you're saying, I've never connected those dots like that before, and I want to today. You can pray just like I prayed with Mike. Real simple, real sincere. Jesus, I need you. I believe you are who you claim to be. You died on that cross for me, and you are Lord. Be Lord over me. Give me a new life. I will follow you. I want to pray for all of us that are following Jesus, whether it's been for decades or now just for a few seconds since you just prayed. Let's pray together. Lord, would you help us as followers of yours to be ready to show and tell? We sing a lot here, Lord, that you are amazing, that you are awesome, that you've changed our lives, that we're so grateful. We sing la 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 with joy and happiness because of the difference you've made in our lives. If you truly are this amazing, then give us the courage we need to let others see it as we show and tell. If you truly have changed our lives, then give us a heart of compassion for those around us who do not yet know you. They may be religious, they may be a happy pagan, but they need you, Lord. Would you give us the love for them that you've had for us, that we can show them your love and tell them in your timetable? God, keep us from guilt, keep us from pressure, keep us from feeling it's all up to us. Instead, help us to realize we're joining hands with you because you're the one that can change their life. Do you believe this, friend? Do you believe that Jesus can change someone's life? Tell him you believe. Say, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Then grant us the grace we need even this week, Lord, to be ready to show and tell so that when you set us up, we can cooperate with you, Holy Spirit, and that person can connect the dots with Father God and come to know you personally just like us. There would be nothing better for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand with me. I believe that many of you will find your way to Dunkin' Donuts in the next day or so. Some of you can spare yourself the trip because Ronnie does have a few more donut holes left, and he's my friend. As you could see, I'm holding a donut hole. And let me tell you, it's sweet. It smells sweet. But what's even sweeter is saying yes in that moment when the Holy Spirit gives you the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Many of you have had that experience and you could say yes. There's really not much sweeter than that. So as the Lord leads this week and gives you that opportunity, whether it's through a picture, through a scripture, as you tell your story, be faithful. Because I know that you want them to know that they're loved. And how do I know that? Because I know you are loved. So go walk in that faith and let it change you and those that you come into contact with. God bless you. Stay a step behind Jesus.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.